Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege today to call you our God and for you to accept us as your children. Every one of us here, Lord, we have been born in sin. We have been shapen in iniquity. But thank you, Jesus, that by your power and especially by the third power of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, we can be born again. And today as we come to church, as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, Christ Jesus, we are here to praise you for what you have done for us. Speak to our experience now, Lord, and bring transformation to our lives. And may in each of our journey, each of us will be drawn closer to you and be more like you. Speak to us from your word. May our hearts be lit with the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, at Vestal Hills Church, on a Wednesday night, we have Bible studies. Here it's on a Tuesday night. And so what I do on a Wednesday night, we have children's Bible studies. Where the little children and anyone who wants to join in can learn. But I do it in a way that is very simple. So the children can understand, they can participate, and they can know. And you know, for maybe 4 months now, you know all we have been studying? The gospel of Jesus Christ. For like 4 months. We just kept it real simple. Now, if I were to ask you today, what is the gospel? What would you answer me? Go ahead. Tell me. What would you answer? All right. Bill says the New Testament. I hear another answer here. Faith says the good news of Jesus. All right. That even getting more specific. Anybody else? Truth. All right. Jessica. Jesse says the message of God. The good news of salvation. I think I heard one coming back here.
That's right.
That's what you're going to say too. All right. So we have two saying it's the good news of salvation. You say that too. All right. So we have a third witness. And guess what? All of you are right. All the answers are right, you know. Now, if I were to ask you to give me a Bible text for the gospel, what would you give me? John 3:16. What does it say? Everybody say it with him if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That's a great and wonderful start. Now I want you to give me a text for the gospel. All right, come on, children Bible class. Let me hear from you then. Hey, that is the one, Elias. That's the one. That's the one. Romans 1 and verse 16. We got to know that text. Romans 1:16. What does it say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. To the Jew first, to the Greek, and to all them that believe. Yeah, same thing. Greek, Gentile. A Gentile is simply a non-Jew. Yes, yes. To all them that believe. Now, are you a believer today? Raise your hand if you're a believer. Amen. Praise God. And I like that. I like that. I see double hands going up. Amen. Yes, to all them that believe. Now, are you a Jew? Anyone here who is Jewish? Like in the bloodline of Jews? Faith? All right. All right. You know, we are all Jews because we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, then he is Abraham's seed. Amen? Galatians 3:26 and onward tell us that. We are in Christ. But you know, when Paul made the statement, he was saying to those who are of the literal bloodline of Jews, he said to the Jew first, why? Because the Jews are the vehicle. The Jews are God's Old Testament church. They were God's Old Testament church. And it's through the Jewish people that we got the scriptures. God sent the scriptures through his Old Testament church. And amazingly, God's New Testament church, the vehicles through which he also sent the Bible, the New Testament scriptures, was almost 100% through Jewish people as well. Luke is the one writer that was a Gentile, non-Jew. But all the other Bible writers of the New Testament are also Jewish. So it's amazing. God sent us the oracles through the Jewish people. We thank God for the wonderful treasure we have in Scripture. Amen? You know, I tell my cousins, I support the police in Jamaica. I said to them, I mean, if things are the way they are and we have police, imagine if we didn't have police. But when they do injustice, we still have to cry out as well. And I say the same thing for here in the United States of America. If things are the way they are, I mean, you saw what happened in Chicago last weekend. If things are the way they are, and I just use Chicago for an example, 56 people shot over the weekend. If things are the way they are and we have police, imagine if we didn't. So thank God for the police and for the work they do. When they do the wrong, then we have to hold them accountable too, amen? But thank God for their work. And so Paul was talking to the Jewish, Paul was saying to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, and to everyone who believes. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he defines it. I think that's a text that defines what the gospel is. He said it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, and any of drive vehicles that are salvage title? I was looking hard for one, but I didn't quite get one. I got a new car, you know. Well, not new, but it's new to me. Yes, it's new to me. But I was looking hard for a salvage title because you tend to get them for a nicely discounted price, but they still function, you know. They still run well. I didn't end up getting a salvage title. I didn't just find one. So I bought a brand new used car. Yes, yes, yes. But it will serve the purpose well for all the miles we cover in ministry and etc., you know. It will serve well. But I brought that up to say, just like people who buy a salvage title car, it means the car was in an accident before, some kind of damage before, and then that damage was fixed. That's what salvation is. God made us brand new in the persons of Adam and Eve, and we met in a major accident head on with sin. And so Adam and Eve sinned, and so the entire human race was sold under sin. And so God is at work to salvage us from that wreck, from that accident, to salvage us from sin. And so Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, the power of God to salvage us. And we are salvaged from being transgressors of God's laws. We are salvaged from being Ten Commandment breakers, breaking God's Ten Commandment law of his covenant. We are salvaged. So we are not saved in sin. We are saved from sin. Amen. And 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us, whosoever transgresseth the law, whosoever sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. The newer version will say, sin is lawlessness. And that's a good term, by the way. So all the people who say God's law is done away with, that's lawlessness. We are lawful, not lawless. Amen? We are lawful. And for by grace we have been saved through faith. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We have been saved from sin. We have been saved through faith in Christ Jesus. We are saved from sin. We are saved from transgressing God's law. We are saved to keep God's Ten Commandments, including the seventh-day Sabbath. Amen? Praise be to God. He is at work within us. So today's sermon title is, what is it again? All right, the elder knows. You didn't pay attention to your bulletin, huh? Who do you say that I am? And that's a question that Jesus raised. Jesus is asking you today, who do you say that I am? I am persuaded that Jesus is coming soon. Is there anybody else here who is persuaded that Christ is coming soon? I am persuaded that he's coming soon. I am also persuaded that in order to be ready for Christ soon coming, we must come to the conclusion with Scripture as to who is Jesus. Each of us must personally answer that question from the Bible for ourselves. Who is Christ? Now in Matthew chapter 16, and thank you, Bill, for reading that text for us. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who am I? I asked earlier if there's a believer in Christ here, if everyone here believes in Jesus, and everybody said, yes, we are believers. Now, who did Jesus ask this question to? Who do men say that I am? Who did he ask? Disciples? He didn't ask unbelievers, right? He asked believers. He asked disciples. In other words, Christ is asking the people located in the sanctuary of the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church on August 25, 2018. Who are the people saying I am? Who are the people in your workplace? The people in your workplace, who do they say Jesus is? The people in your school, who do they say Jesus is? The people on the street where you live, in your community, who do they say Jesus is? The people at Wegmans and whatever store you go to shop for grocery and other things in the mall, who are the people saying Jesus is? Christ is asking you that question today. The people around you, the people in your circle and sphere of influence, who do the people say that I am? That's a personal question Jesus is asking you today. What answer will you give Jesus to this question to you? Who are the people around you saying, I, the Son of Man, am? And then in verse 14, so they said, the disciples said, Christ believers at Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church said, some say you are John the Baptist. And you know, John the Baptist was recently beheaded for the gospel's sake. He was recently killed. So if they are saying that Jesus is John the Baptist, what is it saying about their belief? What do they believe? If they're saying you are John the Baptist, come back. What do the people believe? They believe in the resurrection, right? John was killed. So if you are John the Baptist, then you must be John the Baptist resurrected. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Now, if they said that he's Elijah, what does that mean? He's a prophet. He comes from heaven, yes, because Elijah is there. And you know, Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament canon, written up in scriptures, Malachi said, before the great day of God, who is going to come first? Elijah. And so, some are saying, you are Elijah. So they were expecting that the great day of God was soon. So they are saying, some of the people in the public square, they were saying, you are Elijah. Who else? Others say you are Jeremiah. Now, who was Jeremiah? A prophet of God. They call him the weeping prophet. He wept much for the state of the church. He wept much for the condition of God's people. And he tried to lead them out of their apostasy to serve God in spirit and in truth, according to God's revealed will in scriptures. And you know what the church did to Jeremiah? They threw him in the well. They threw him in the pit. That's what the church did to Jeremiah. Didn't want to hear his message. They threw him in the pit. And so they say, you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. One of the prophets. And it's true, the religion of Islam today recognizes Jesus as a prophet. The religion of Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, they dismiss Jesus as an imposter. Still today, 2,000 years later. So Islam says he's a prophet. Orthodox Judaism says he was an imposter. But who do you say that Jesus is today. Which is the next question in verse 15. Jesus says, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And by the way, I told you about Islam. I told you about Orthodox Judaism. But I want to tell you today that most of Christianity still do not know who Jesus is. It's unfortunate. Most of Christianity, they have something of their own mental creation. And that's what they paint Jesus to be. But we got to find the Christ of the scriptures. Amen? We don't want somebody's imaginary idea of who Jesus is. We want the Christ of the scriptures. For example, much of evangelical America today, they have a Jesus that is a weakling, a wishy-washy kind of a person, a flippy-floppy kind of a person. If it works this time, then fine. But if it doesn't work the next time, then fine. By this, I'm saying, they are seeing a Jesus that is very strong in the Old Testament, but very weak in the New Testament. In other words, they are seeing a Jesus that was law-oriented in the Old Testament, but he gives up the law in the New Testament. That's not the Christ of scriptures, amen? The Christ of the Bible is very consistent. He was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, amen? Jesus says, I am the God of Jacob, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is the same. God has not changed. The same God that they claim breathed wrath in the Old Testament and grace in the New Testament is the one and the same God. Very consistent. And by the way, they said all that just to say that God did away with his Sabbath. That's what it boils down to. But the same God of the Old Testament is the God of the Sabbath. It's the same God of the New Testament and he's the God of the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, it is in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28 that Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So he's still the God of the Sabbath in the New Testament. Amen? God never changes. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? All right, the people in the marketplace, they're saying one thing. The people in your workplace are saying one thing. The evolutionary scientists in our universities are saying another. But who do you say that I am? That's a question. That's the second question Jesus raised. First, in 13, he's saying, who do men say that I am? Who are the people in the public spaces? Who are they saying that I am? And then they answered, you might be John the Baptist. You might be Elijah. You might be Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus took the question home. He got personal, up close and personal. Who do you say that I am? What is your answer to today to Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Jesus is God. That's a good answer. Who else? Who is Jesus to you, Jessica? The Father? Actually, she is right. Jesus is the Father. Did you know that? Not even one amen. All right, I'll give you a Bible for it in Isaiah 9, verses 5 and 6. For unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. What is the next term? Everlasting Father. Is that one in your Bible? That the son is called Everlasting Father? A son is given, his name is Everlasting Father, so he is the Father. We sound like we're confused, don't we? Well, that's the Bible. It used both the same two verses, call him Son and Everlasting Father. Just want to point that one out to you. The term title and the term or title of Father and Son, they are just titles. They are three equals. We just use the term so we can distinguish which one we are referring to. But they're just titles. They are all equals. They are co-equals. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three equals. None is greater than the other. From eternity to past, they are one God with three beings. Very unique, right? Take a little time and study the fundamental belief. on the Godhead that is otherwise called the Trinity. Spend some time with it. You can find it on your phone these days, by the way. You can go to www.adventist.org and just go to the doctrines. You can find them all right on your phone. Or get a hard copy of the 28 Fundamental Beliefs. They're pretty inexpensive. It will really help you with scripture after scripture after scripture to understand these main blocks of teachings in the Holy Scripture, these doctrines. Doctrines are good. Amen? There's this big emphasis on doctrines. You know, I'm hearing it in all kind of circles. Let's talk about Christ and not doctrines. I say even to talk about Christ, even that is a doctrine. Amen? Our fundamental belief number one is what? The Word of God. You know what fundamental belief number two is? The Godhead, that which is called the Trinity. And then you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's five doctrines right there. Even to talk about God is a doctrine. Isn't this what the Jewish rulers said to the early Christians? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, over in Acts chapter 5. They were preaching Christ. And they said, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. Let us never fall into the trap of de-emphasizing doctrine. Doctrines are important. Amen? Doctrines are, as a matter of fact, Paul says, in the latter times, they will not endure sound doctrine. They want all this little cheap stuff. They can hide behind all kind of shadows. We need the true doctrines of God. Amen? And we should stand up for them. And so Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And you know, Simon Peter was the voice captain. He always the first to speak. Simon Peter answered in verse 16 and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, does anyone care to explain what Peter was saying? You are the Christ. Why the definite article the and Christ? Why? He was prophesied as the Messiah. Literally, the word Christ comes from Greek Christos. Christos. Literally, it means anointed. That's what literally Mashiach, Messiah, means, anointed. So Christ is the Greek word for Messiah in the Hebrew. So literally, Peter is saying, you are the anointed. And you know, the prophecies of Daniel chapter 9, 24 through to 27 talks about when Messiah would come and he would be cut off. It's the anointed, the same exact thing. So Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by the way, the Son of the living God is God's equal. At one time when Jesus says, my Father, the Jews said, you being yourself a man, make yourself equal with God by calling him your Father. And they were ready to stone him. Yes, it's a biblical teaching that the Son of God is God. And so in a sense, listen, I say, in a sense, the Muslims are right when they said God has no son. In that sense of the saying, it is true. Because the way they say that is like, I have three daughters. They're saying God doesn't have a son like I have three daughters. And in that sense, it is right. They are right in that sense. And so you can agree with the Muslim on that, and then you can lead them further now to realize that there are three beings who are God. Amen? Therein lies the difference. Therein. But Jesus does not have an origin. I've been saying it in the year and a half I've been here, and I continue to say it. Jesus has no beginning. Jesus is the eternal God. From eternity past, he was God. And what he did was to just, I would use the word, disrupt that a little bit by becoming a human being. But from eternity past, he was Almighty God. And in eternity future, Jesus is Almighty God. He created the heavens and the earth, the worlds, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Jesus made them all. Jesus created angels. Jesus created Adam and Eve. Amen? He's the Almighty. And so he says, who do you say that I am? Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But never miss verse 17. I want you to drop your eyes. Drop your beautiful pair of eyes on Matthew 16, verse 17. So Jesus raised the question. Peter responded, and still Jesus said further in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, my Father who is in heaven made that revelation to you. You can only know that I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, I am the Son of the living God. You can know that I am Almighty God only by the revelation of my Father who is in heaven. By the way, the point Jesus is making, Peter, your understanding, Peter, your declaration that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, your declaration did not come from human origin. That's what that term flesh and blood means. It is not of human origin. 2 Peter 1, verse 19 through to 21, a text we really like, for the prophecy did not come. It talk about let the day star arise in your heart, you know. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And then it says, for the prophecy did not come by the, is not of any private interpretation. That's what it means, not of human origin. When you go to 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The same idea is brought out there. It's inspired by God. There was a moment of inspiration that flashed up on Peter, and it's on this inspiration that he could declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by the way, it wasn't too long after that that the young damsel, that young girl, at the place of trial, approached Peter and said, "Aren't you from the Galilee? Aren't you one of his disciples?" And what was Peter's response? "I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about." And scripture says he even added some colorful language to it to try to betray who he was. But then that damsel looked him in the eyes and said, "Your very speech," the King James Version said, "bereath thee." "Your speech betrays you." By the way, the Galileans were known instantly like Jamaicans, you know. You hear the accent right away. Yes, the Galileans were known for their thick accent. They could spot a Galilean just like that. Ellen White tells you quite a bit about it too. And you can read the histories and the people from the Galilee. That's why on the day of Pentecost, all those lettered Jews from local here in Jerusalem and elsewhere in the world that were gathered, they said, "Are not all these Galileans?" Almost with disdain, you know. "Are not these all Galileans? How then here we speak them American fluently? How then here we speak them Jamaican fluently? And how here we speak them French and Creole fluently? Are they not Galileans? They're not supposed to know this." But yes, when the Spirit touches us, what a difference he makes in our lives. Amen? What a difference God makes in our lives. And so, the question to you today is, who do you say Jesus is? When you're faced with your tests and your trials, when you're faced with different temptations, who do you take Jesus as? My recommendation to you is, accept Jesus firstly as the Lord of your life. In other words, accept Jesus as the ruler of your life. And then also accept him as your savior from sin. Many times, and most Christians today, we are willing to accept Jesus as our savior from sin. We want to be saved from sin. But most of us are not willing to accept God, Jesus, as ruler of our lives. That means he's our head. That means Jesus tells us what to do and we obey. Most of us don't want that. We want to bargain with him. And by the way, I tell you personally, Even when my cousin got shot last Friday night and I was pleading with God to spare his life, I know I don't make deal. I don't make deals or bargains with God. I don't. God is not my equal. So I don't go to him to make deals. Amen? If you do this, I do that. Who am I to speak to God like that? God made us. He's my creator. I have no bargaining ground with God. I can just go to him and ask him a favor. And sometimes he'll do it if he sees that it's the right thing to do. I'll ask him a favor, but I don't make deals with God. I don't make bargain with God. God is my superior. God is creator. I am created. God is infinite. I am finite. God is eternal. I am not even eternal. I am not God's equal, so I don't make bargains with him. I just ask him favors. And it's up to his will to grant as he sees fit. Amen? So, the question to you today, who do you say Jesus is? For me, in times of healing, especially when I do hospital ministry and I pray for the sick, Jesus is the great physician. Amen? He is. And as people face surgeries, I know Jesus is a great universal surgeon general. Amen? And then when things get rough at work, I say Jesus is the great negotiator. He can negotiate with your boss. But if your boss is still bullhead, Jesus is the great king. And he's suffering over that boss. Amen? Jesus is the great one. And then when we are in school, Brittany, and we're doing all those sciences and those things are running before us, Jesus is a great teacher. Amen? So as student, we are in the sitting room with Christ. Yes, my friends. And whatever challenges we face, when we think about the bills to be paid and we just can't see the dollars meet, make sure you take out the tithe first though. But when the bills can't meet, we see Jesus as a great provider. And he never fails in providing for us. Now, if you believe an alarm can wake you up, I challenge you to go to the nearest cemetery here and turn that alarm up to the loudest volume you possibly can and see if it will wake anybody in there. Jesus is the one who woke us up this morning. Amen? He did. Jesus woke us up and he set us on our journey. And there's not a hungry person in here this morning. You're hungry only if you wanted to. You chose to. But everybody had breakfast this morning unless you chose not to. There is enough for everyone. Amen? Jesus provides for all of our needs. And today, I want to make the confession with Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? So this time, I want to sing at least a stanza of that hymn, "To God Be the Glory." And then we're going to go and wash one another's feet as Jesus instructed us to. And we're going to come back and partake of the emblems that represent the broken body of Christ. And then we're going to sing and close out the service and we'll have a nice fellowship meal together. So I'm saying, don't go anywhere, but stay with Christ and let us do what is right. Father and our God, we are so thankful to you for your revelation in scriptures. You never miss it. So precise, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We also thank you for the great revelation that there are three beings, and each is the Almighty God. Those who we call the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Help us then, Lord, to continue to trust in you, and to know that Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, and you are coming back very soon, Jesus, as the King of Kings and the conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah. Help us then, Lord, to be so ready that when you return, each of us here will be in the number of people that will go home to live with God. Until then, Lord, keep us trusting in you and help us know as we go to the ordinance of humility to really be humble before you, confessing and giving up our sins and accepting your grace and righteousness instead. Thank you for your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.